Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining us on the line, Liron Mazor. Liron, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Great, thanks, Howard. How are you doing?
Excellent. How was your Pesach?
Long. I've got two young kids.
Yeah.
And I'd love to say I loved it, but I didn't.
Yep, okay. A little bit of honesty never did us any harm. But it certainly was long, but I have to tell you that I absolutely did love it, maybe because our kids are a little bit older. Let's talk about kids, and let's talk about dealing with children around financial issues, because it's a very, very difficult balance to achieve, not to cause more anxiety in a world that is already bursting at the seams with things for them to worry about, but at the same time make them responsible and not shelter them from these things that are actually quite important as conversations. Take us through your thought process.
So great. Thanks, Howard. I think as always, we're going to always try and flip this on its head and try and find a different way to do things. So I think the solutions we've got today are actually really exciting, slightly different. But one of the questions that often come out is, when's the best age to start teaching kids about savings, about creating wealth, etc.? And I'm not sure if there is an ideal age. I think it's definitely dependent per each kid. But I do think normally from my experience from a cognitive perspective, normally from the age of 11 up is a good age to start teaching kids about money. And the way I try and do it is also I ask different questions. And one of the questions that I like to ask, it's often asked by many different people in different situations. The question that's asked is, can you sell ice to Eskimos? And I turn that on its head and I don't say, can you sell ice to Eskimos? I say, how can you sell ice to Eskimos? So I don't know if you've ever thought about that question. I don't know if you've maybe got an answer for it.
No, I certainly haven't, except that I would say that of all people that understand the need for ice, Eskimos are that group.
Great. So exactly. So if we can start changing questions and turn it on its head, we can actually find solutions to make sure that we don't necessarily put a burden on our kids, but we actually start creating a lot of excitement for them. I'm going to show you how I answered this question, and then we're going to go through to one or two different ideas to change our perspective in terms of what we can teach kids about money. So when I looked at answering this question, I spent quite a bit of time on it. And the reason why it's so important to answer this question is because it just shows you that anything is possible. And the minute you can overcome that hurdle in your brain, you can find opportunities anywhere. And I answered it as follows. I said, let's take gummy bears and put gummy bears, vitamin gummy bears in ice, freeze them, put colors over, and help kids to get a selection of different gummies bears that they can collect or different toys that they can collect. Must be in ice cubes, and then people come and buy the ice cubes. So you can still sell ice to Eskimos. It just has to sometimes be packaged slightly differently. You with me so far?
So far. I'm following.
So now let's turn around and say most people say, let's teach our kids to save. I don't think we need to teach our kids to save. I think we need to teach our kids how to invest. And I think that's so much more exciting. Now, if I turn around and I go to a kid and say, okay, great, which company do you enjoy? Which company do you like? And some kids will say Mr. Price. Some will say whatever it might be. But let's say most kids decide to choose Apple. I would say, okay, great, let's go and buy an Apple share. Now, the difference between saying saving is you're putting something out, but it's got a heaviness to it, and it's got to keep working and pushing. Whereas when we turn around and say, okay, let's start teaching you how to invest and create wealth, and let's go to companies that you like, it becomes something that they can touch and feel and something that's a lot more practical to them.
Oh, I see. Also
a lot more exciting.
And exactly, and you're doing it from a very positive, in a very positive way.
And you can
it isn't done with anxiety and negativity.
Definitely not. And people are excited because when you, for example, use the product and now you know you own a percentage of that company, you're actually quite excited. And that's what our generation needs. Our generation's got confused that we need to use the word savings. We don't need savers. We need to create people that are empowered. We need to create investors, and we need to create people that are passionate. We need to make sure that people understand that they don't need to be robots. You don't need to put money aside just for the sake of using the word savings because that's the right thing to do. Creating wealth is great. We spoke about that the last time. We want to know that people can create wealth and they can understand the good that money can do. And that's an exciting place to be. And I think that's very important because without that, it's just again too heavy. And that's why I say let's ask and flip all the questions on their side and say, okay, well, how do I sell ice to an Eskimo?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, how do I create wealth? How do I invest? Where can I invest?
I love that. I absolutely love this approach because it's, as I say, it's it teaches them the skill in a positive, but not in a negative way.
Exactly, exactly. Mm. And I think what's so important is that with kids is that they need, firstly, our kids are much brighter than, for whatever reason, maybe it's just that we feed them better, whatever it might be. Our kids are clever. They're not stupid. You know, to turn around and say we're going to save, our kids don't get excited by that.
No,
kids don't want to know that.
Of course, it needs
to be tangible.
You know
what I'm saying? Tangible. I'm going to save and save up a I just went blank, a PlayStation.
Mm,
rather turn around and say, okay, let's go and invest in the company that does PlayStation.
Absolutely.
Now
amazing.
That's going to get somebody excited.
Yes, yes. And so, exactly.
And when you turn around and say, okay, great, let's watch it. Let's watch how your money grows. That's going to motivate them to put more money aside because they're going to turn around and start figuring it out for themselves to say, geez, this is actually quite exciting and I'm getting the benefit of growth all the time. Okay, there'll be ups and there'll be downs and that's life. Life, like we said, is like the seasons. There's different seasons. There's summer, there's winter, there's autumn, there's spring. And that sometimes every day has different seasons. Every month has different seasons. Every year has different seasons. So there's nothing wrong with up and down. That's just the cycle of life. But it does help them understand and manage life much better. And at the same time, to again keep looking forward to saying, great, what else can I invest in? Now that's going to get somebody motivated. Instead of saying, let's save and it's intense and money doesn't grow on trees. By the way, money does grow on trees and we can talk about that during our next session. And again, it's again, just flipping the questions. Flip them around to make sure that they positive, not negative.
What about a situation where you do have to address something that is of concern? So the kid wants something that all the friends have, and I'm not talking about something, let's say, like a PlayStation, but something that is really quite hard as a family to afford, or it's just that little bit too much to take on board. How do you address it then? Would you do it in the same way?
So I would address it from two perspectives. I think one is always being honest. Like, I try and say to my kids, listen, whatever, I had a tough month in business. Things are a bit quiet now. Let's potentially look at waiting for next month. Or I turn around and say, okay, let's dive into Hashem. This is what we want, so let's ask Hashem to help us. Hashem provides us with everything. We need to be able to turn around and go to the creator, that's the one that really writes the paycheck, and say, please, can you help us with this? And at the same time, becoming comfortable, sometimes the answer is no, because I just don't need it. Now, depending on which society we're in, and I'd say specifically in South Africa, there is a big need because, thank God, a lot of people have done very well, and some people haven't done very well. But those that have done well really want to look after their children. And I'm not sure whether that's right or wrong. I don't think that this is the forum to be discussing that.
Mm.
But it does put a lot of kids that don't have under a lot of pressure. And I think that there's an insensitivity at times around that because you need to make sure that you have the sensitivity that not all kids feel that cheese. If they don't have, then they are
inferior.
Less than. Exactly. Mm. There's no such a thing. And we need to teach our kids. I wouldn't say we need to teach our kids not to have. I think we need to teach our kids how to be sensitive to other kids and to turn around and say, great, well, you know, there are times and you can definitely enjoy and there's nothing wrong with enjoying, but what about giving? Mm. How do we turn around and make sure that everybody feels that they're not left out as well? And the best person I'm going to use as an example that's going to be quite funny to you is a gentleman by the name of Alon Feldman.
Mm-hmm.
Alon I've always loved because whatever game you play with him, I'd go play volleyball with him. Alon always made sure no matter what, you were always included as part of the team, even if you weren't the best player. But he always gave you the sense like you are so important and there's no one's here to be better or not. We all want you to be part of something. And I've always taken the lessons I've learned from him and really tried to implement them in my life because they've been so powerful. And when I'm having a party, when I'm having something else, I try and really be sensitive to say, okay, I don't have to go overboard. What's that middle ground that everybody can feel comfortable on? That I don't have to have people turning around and saying, geez, what a beautiful spread and how amazing it all is. Whereas, geez, this is great and really comfortable. But that it's not out of reach for everybody.
Amazing. It is absolutely right because it's all about empathy. And I guess that if you teach it to our children and they can understand what other people have and don't have, then when it relates back to themselves, they actually don't judge themselves so harshly either. So it is actually a circle that goes round and round. I think it's a very, very valuable lesson. We do unfortunately need to leave it there. It is 8:30. I could chat to you for hours about this. I think it is such an important conversation. And the most important thing to me, the takeaway from me is that what you're doing with all of this is removing that negativity, anxiety, stress, and you're making it very positive, talking about asking God for help. And maybe just by asking that, you say to your kid, is there something that you would like to ask for? Or maybe something something else is rather more important. Do you want to be really, is this that important to you? And that I think also helps them to assess what is and what isn't important. I think that is absolutely fantastic. Liroran Mazor, thank you as always.